Hello, welcome back. If you've caught us for last time in the last episode that we did, kind of introducing what we're doing here, I was joined with Chance, and as you can see, I'm not with Chance tonight. He's actually behind the camera tonight. But we wanted to come to you tonight and really kind of cover and start with some history of the church, Joplinful Gospel, even before it was Joplinful Gospel, actually. And so we brought on my grandmother, who I'll let her introduce herself, but she's going to know more than about anybody as far as this stuff goes. So if you'd like to go ahead, and I think she's a little shy with the mic. It's not like she's ever been behind one. But if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself.
Well, I am Joyce Myers, and my husband and I founded Joplinful Gospel, and then we first started at Church in the Wildwood many years ago. So, yes, I helped him pastor for years, and now I'm here working underneath Brother Josh.
How many times have you been asked about being the real Joyce Myers? It's got to be.
Oh my! Every time I introduce myself to somebody, like, they will ask me that.
It's but always something.
It
about
is kind
Joyce
of. It's kind of a neat thing because she kind of gives me a little bit of a witness to open up a door where I can talk about her ministry and also tell a little bit about mine.
Yeah, I remember my grandpa used to say that he would chauffeur Joyce Myers around.
Yeah,
and,
he did.
Yeah.
He did.
So I wanted to just dive in tonight and ask some questions because probably this is stuff we don't know. The church has been going for roughly 39 years, so a lot of people have come in, obviously, later into the church, and so probably some stuff we don't even know, and I wanted to start by asking you about your guys' ministry, being called to pastor, even if you wanted to go in before that, about, you know, how things got started, where you started at, your first kind of ministry roots.
Okay, I come from Full Gospel background, Pentecost Church of God background, and Brother John did not get saved till several years after I was going to church and he was going to church. And as you all know and heard his testimony, he was a people person, and he watched people and let that become something that would deter him from becoming a Christian. But when he did get saved in 1977, October 6, 1977, he got saved. And he got saved one Sunday morning when someone else was there as a guest speaker. And he fully committed to God when he got saved. And that morning when he got saved, there was a call put on his life to preach the gospel. And it was. And when he got up from the altar that day and he talked to me going home, he made a commitment then to be faithful to God, faithful to the church. And he knew his call from that moment on, it was to pastor. He had a love for people and a love for the church. And so we didn't start in ministry, though, probably till about a year later after that.
Mm-hmm. So do you think, as for you, were you kind of always leaning towards, with your background and stuff, like some sort of ministry, or was that when he got that call, you felt that as well around the same time, or were you
I always
on?
Knew that, you know, there was something there, but I never really, like, took a front role in anything. At the time when he got saved, we had a little boy, and I took care of the children and did a lot of background. I always taught Sunday school. I did everything in church I could do, and I knew he had a call on his life. I knew God was going to do something with him, but I kind of waited in the background before I really stepped up and started ministering, you know, as far as that. He did join Full Gospel Church International in 1977 as well, so we have been in Full Gospel Churches International for many years.
Wow.
But that was the call. One Sunday morning, he got saved, fully committed, and that's when the call to preach come on him that very day.
So you said you guys, for about a year, didn't do anything. What was kind of the first steps into ministry? Or I know, didn't you guys do some nursing home stuff?
We did. We got involved in everything there was in the local church. And we started going to nursing homes every Sunday afternoon, and then we did one on Monday night. And everywhere we could work, we'd do it. And he started speaking in nursing homes there, and he sang also. He had a little singing thing that he would do, too. He would sing, and we did nursing homes. We worked with the youth for many years, and we were youth pastors and youth leaders, and that was also a little bit of our background.
Wow. Okay, so how long were you guys in this church doing these ministry things before opportunity arose for to pastor a church? And were you seeking out to take a church on, or just preaching for people? And
we left that church not too long after John got saved. He had such a hunger for the word and for the moving of the Spirit that we left and went to another church, which I believe was our learning and our foundation for ministry. That pastor was Pastor Shaw, and he absolutely taught us everything. He pulled us aside. He taught us. He took us everywhere. He taught us the business of the church as well as ministry. And we started working with Pastor Shaw right after, probably 6 months to a year after John got saved. And that probably was, I think that would be our foundation in ministry. I was thinking of that today before this broadcast, that I am so thankful for Pastor Shaw and his willingness to take us aside and to teach us and train us, because that endurance probably is what kept us through the hard times in ministry. As sitting under somebody and being taught. And, I mean, whatever he said do, we did. We cleaned the church. We taught Sunday school. We worked in the nursery. We did everything we could find as far as ministry. And from there, it wasn't long till we started getting calls to preach out. And in our association, even at that time, if there was a pastor going to be gone, they would call John and Joyce to come and take over their church that weekend. And then it began to be the place where we were constantly preaching out. So I think God gave us that time to kind of prove us and teach us for those few years there. And then we began to start preaching out a little bit.
Okay. Wow. I didn't even know that. I thought, for some reason, I was thinking that he had gotten saved in Brother Shaw's church. So
no.
Still learning this even now, right? So,
So
you're doing this and preaching out. So tell us a little bit about Church in the Wildwood. I've heard you say some things offhand, and she's already asked if we can edit, so she's not wanting to get into any trouble. But a little bit about coming into Church in the Wildwood.
Well, we sat under, to be honest, we sat under Pastor Shaw for 11 years. We sat in that church, and that was in Webb City. And we sat under him and worked under him, worked in our fellowship, worked in local offices here in our fellowship, state offices, then in national youth, and they started electing us and everything. And we worked there with him and in the association there for 11 years. And then we just knew we were at a place that something was going to open up. We were preaching out a lot, and we just really felt like, you know, and he had trained us for all of this. He knew also that we were going to be leaving, and we just knew something was going to be opening up. And we had preached at Church in the Wildwood. They had, their pastor had gone, and so Brother Joe Myers was taking care of two churches, and he called Brother John to go over to Church in the Wildwood. And so we filled in a couple of times there. And then all of a sudden they called us and said they were going to vote on us. And I'm like, oh, no. I don't think that's where we're supposed to go, John. But I'm so thankful that God works on us, and that's where we ended up going.
Wow. So they were voting, and you didn't even know they were voting on you guys?
Oh, we didn't even know till they called us.
Nice.
And we had good services when we went there, but it was, you know, it's just a one-room church and very small. At that time, they were running probably 30, 35 people, and they had a good little congregation. And we went there and just started preaching, filling in a couple of times, and Brother Joe Myers says, Brother John, I think they're going to vote on you. And I thought, oh, yeah, they're not going to want us. They're going to want someone older. But anyway, they did.
So we actually, and we weren't trying to make this happen, but we got to visit the church building, which is now vacant itself, and it still has been used as a church all these years later. Looks a little different than it probably did when you first went there. But it was kind of interesting. We got to see, and let me tell you, for when she said it was a small one-room church, even now it's a small church, and it's like tripled in size than it was. And so we were kind of getting to walk through the building, and she showed us a little bit about where the original sanctuary was and things. So yes, I can testify to the fact that it was very tiny. So your new pastors,
yes,
of a new congregation.
Yes.
So
yes.
If you have any, do you have anything of remember those first little bit of like maybe like learning some things that you're like, I never thought about that, or some things where you guys were not expecting to go through?
Well, you know, it's one thing when you're visiting and preaching evangelistically to a church.
Right.
It's a different thing when you become a pastor, because then you get to know your people, and you have to shepherd them.
It'd be so much easier if you didn't have to know them, right?
And then you're with them through the good times and the bad. You have to help them through things. And, I mean, we got very close to the people. You know, they had lost some people in between this time before we went. Mm-hmm. And so when we went, they didn't have as many as when we were preaching there. And so when we went, it started very low. And then as we started building there and being faithful there, we had families started coming to church there, and it started to grow. Within a year, it was just growing. And we had young families, we had children, we had teenagers. We had to do something.
Wow.
At Church in the Wild. It just got to where it was growing. But yes, we learned. We learned a lot. And I'm so thankful for the years that I was taught under Brother Shaw, because you don't just give up because you hear a problem or because there is a problem with somebody or something. You work through that with them, and you learn to love them and go on and forgive them and go on.
So I didn't ask this, but do you have a rough estimate of what year it is that you guys began, took over as pastors there?
I would think maybe 85 or 86.
Okay.
Just kind of thinking.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm just roughly thinking that today.
Okay. Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. You have roughly 35 when you get there, 35 people?
No, when we went back and took it.
Okay.
They had
it was
already
less than?
They had lost some people when we come back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so from what you're saying, the church starts growing as
yes.
they have pastors now.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have congregation growing, and you have some growing pains maybe. What what was kind of the first things when growth starts to happen that you're, you know, we need this, or these are, what was kind of the stuff that you're looking at going, you know, if we're going to grow, we're going to need these things.
Well, as you know, when you looked at the building and we just had the one room, and then you had a basement with the bathrooms underneath it, and you got young families.
A very creepy little basement that yes. you have to go outside to get to.
And we were putting a Sunday school class down there at during Sunday school, and we did do Sunday school. And, of course, when you started getting children, and we had to have classroom space, and immediately we had to do something. And, you know, we were probably there a couple of years before we did the addition on the side.
Okay.
And we put a long room on the side equivalent to the same length as that building, and that gave us two bathrooms upstairs, a long room with a kitchen on the side, and then we put a divider for two little classrooms there. And boy, we thought we were uptown. We were growing, and we had some space now. But growth come, and with growth there's always change.
Oh yeah.
And but you know, the people were excited, and we never had to go in debt for that building. We worked on it all by ourselves, other than having the concrete poured. The men of the church come. Brother John worked on it. He roofed it, and some of the people helped him roof it. And you know, we just did all that ourselves or contracted just very little out.
Which I have that on some notes, questions about people, because there's not very many around today, or at least not a lot that that we know and or still in the church. And so I was wondering if you were thinking back to those early days, what's maybe some people you're thinking of that really either helped with the buildings or was kind of in leadership and helped with different areas in the church. Do you have any names in mind of people that?
Well, one that was very close to Brother John was Brother Jack Brooks, mm-hmm. as you know. And he was on our board, and he was very instrumental in working. And then we had a couple of other men. They weren't on our board, but they were roofers, they were contractors, and they began to come and help also. But the board was behind him in everything they wanted to do. And Brother Jack was so instrumental as just being right there for Brother John. And he was retired, and yet he had a vision for the church, too, and wanted to see it grow. Mm-hmm. You know, and that really helps when you got somebody in the board that wants to see your church grow.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of.
Yeah, that's really cool. Did you have, and how long were you there before you started saying, okay, we need to build on?
We were maybe a couple of years before we did that long room on the side. And, you know, we even had a little kitchenette on the back of it there, and you know, when you viewed it. And so we could even have a dinner. And we hadn't even been able to have any kind of fellowship or any kind of food there in one room, you know.
Right. And even today, it's still pretty much the same, right?
It looks good. It looks good.
Yeah. So
it's still sandy.
Yeah. So they did pretty good. Yeah. No, I was just thinking, man, that's so fast that it would grow that fast and build that fast. So were you guys were pastoring, were you also like having to teach Sunday school and lead songs, or did you have people in the church doing that stuff?
Oh, well, as you know, sometimes you wear many hats when you're a pastor's wife. One thing Brother John never did have to teach Sunday school. I mean, he always used Sunday school time as his office time. Or people would go in there and, you know, need to talk to him. But I taught Sunday school. I have taught Sunday school from the time go of some class. And no matter
before
what church
Sunday
we
school
were at,
was Sunday school, right?
You know, and now I'm demoted back to kids again. But anyway, I taught the adults there. I taught the young adults there. And, you know, so, I kept working and doing whatever I could, you know. And then we worked hard. In our district at that time, too, you know, we were young pastors, and when it come time for a fellowship meeting or a youth rally, we were excited. We get to see other pastors. We get to visit and hear other stories, and that's when our Joplin district was big at that time, mm-hmm. and we were excited to host a fellowship meeting or a youth rally.
Right. So thinking through that time at Church in the Wildwood, so what's you got any like just huge memories or times where you're like, man, when you think of Church in the Wildwood, these are some of the best memories you have at that church?
I guess some things I think about, I think of Brother Gary Henson one night receiving the Holy Ghost that he did not think was real. And I think of special things like that. I think of one time we went through a dry season as a church. It just seemed like it just spiritually wasn't, just kind of a dry time. And we had a little girl go up front, 6 years old, went up front and knelt at the altar, and it just broke the church. It just broke it.
Wow.
And just such a humble act that it broke the church. And I think about those times. I think about we celebrated our 25th anniversary there at that church, our wedding anniversary. Mm-hmm. My kids got married at that church. Mm-hmm. I think about that, and their wedding pictures were all taken there. So I think about some of the church plays that were put on there. I think about some of the youth leaders that were there.
Yeah.
So and some of those people are still around today.
Yeah. Did you know, going through all that, how many building projects did you guys? Because you, the one we just talked about, you guys still built on a sanctuary afterwards that.
We
you
were
know,
there,
the
and then, you know, and then the youth, of course, at that time we had a big youth group. The teens began to come in, and they were meeting downstairs, and then they were going downstairs on Sunday night for youth before church. And there again, we kind of got, you know, we built that on, and we were there in that building for quite a while. And then we thought, hey, we're going to have to, our sanctuary's full. We're still, we've got this room on the side, but we got this one room with pews that were harder than a rock that you sat on them and you slanted and you almost fell down.
How many people?
And that's one reason I didn't want to go there. And God sure humbled me on that. But that little building, I don't know how many it could hold with those little pews, but it was just full. And so then we began to get the vision, and we walked around there one day, and John, he come home and he says, I think we can build on the back of that and put a sanctuary on it. And I said, what? And he says, yep, that's I think we've got enough room behind there that we can do it, and we can just build on right here, and we've got enough space, and we won't have to buy land for it. And so we took it to the church again, and then... we did hire a contractor to do the outside of that building, and we built it on.
You know what year roughly that was? How long you had been there? That was the last addition, right?
That was the last addition of that church. I'm thinking if I kind of can think that I was probably there at church in the Wildwood for around 12 years.
Okay.
In that facility with both add-ons.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Okay, so we've went through some best memories. What's some times you look back and you're like, wow, I'm glad that's over, or even being young in the ministry at that church, what are some of the things you think, like, that was a rough time? You know, you talked about a rough season. Was there anything that went on that you can discuss that was like, was like a dry season or hard time during that?
Looking back at some of those things were nothing compared to some things I've been through since then. I think probably learning to be more patient with people, more understanding with people, and probably do a little bit more, just a lot of things there with people, working with people. And I go back to working under Brother Shaw, because we had seen him go through some hard things, and knowing he went through hard things and how he handled them, it kind of helped us thinking, okay, how do I handle this?
Right.
And, you know, we had some good mentors that we could call outside the church that we could get a hold of. I would think probably maybe being more patient with people.
Can you, because I know you
mentioned
this.
There were some things that people would get upset about, and I'm thinking, really? You know, that doesn't mean anything to me. But
so we were walking through the church, and the church not too long ago, and the carpet got brought up.
Yes.
And you said that they, what was it, $600? And you said, we were about kicked out of the church for that. I'll say it so she doesn't have to.
you're there and you want, I don't know. To me, I always think the house of God should look good. I think the house of God, we should do our very best, the house of God. And we had been there, and so, you know, the church had money. They just weren't doing anything with it. So we began to kind of do a few updates on the church, and we thought, well, we could get some carpet to kind of spice it up a little bit, you know, and lighten up the... And I think we spent, at that time, we spent $600, I think, to carpet that whole area. And... wow, we were so proud of it. Looked so good and clean, you know. And, you know, people were a little hesitant because of releasing money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we were young pastors, even though we were probably, you know, in our 40s and been in ministry for a while. And said, you know, 11, 12 years. But, you know, just releasing money.
Yeah.
You know, they just didn't want us to go out and spend all their money, which we did not. But, you know. You just kind of have to be transparent with people and let them know you're not. That's not your ambition.
Right. And you guys, because we didn't hit on that, but you did some outreach there too with Food Pantry, right, and some other stuff?
Yes, we did have that. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys have any other outreach works that was going on at that time? Any missions or any things that you were supporting
from
that church?
We also, we did have a food pantry there. That we gave food, and we had a lady that had that ministry, that took that ministry and worked that food pantry. And then we supported Day Spring, Brother Roger Tomlinson's missions for several years. In fact, that's where we got introduced to Brother and Sister Packwood in Mexico, and we supported them. We supported another mission, another man that's now deceased. We supported him before then. So, yes, we did do that, and we were still doing some nursing home work while we were there, too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I was wondering about that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, the church is going good. It's growing.
Yep.
You've had to build on multiple times, and you said this was debt-free.
Yes.
So far?
Except for the one behind it.
The sanctuary?
We did have to borrow money for the sanctuary.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so continuing to do that, there seems at some point you guys realize you're going to need another building, a bigger building, right? Is that where we're leading
into? Well, and we kind of got landlocked in there. As you know, the parking lot is not very big.
Very little.
What, 10 or 12 spaces, and we parked double on that at that time. We parked double, two rows on that, and parked on the streets on a hill. We parked on the hill. We parked down the hill. If you had anything special, it's very hard to park people and put people in there. And then with the other sanctuary, you know, I think they pretty well tell you if you're 80% full, you need to start thinking about doing something or people won't come back.
Right.
And we got pretty locked in there, and we just kind of got a vision to get out, to move out.
Okay.
And so that's where we took the vision to get the church and to go look for property.
Okay. Okay. So the parking lot was an issue, and no land around you was an issue.
And really, we still didn't have a lot of Sunday school rooms.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you know roughly how many people you were probably having attending at the time when this is going on and you're...
When we moved to...
Yeah, you're starting to...
Well, when we moved, probably 80, 85 okay. to 100 at that time in that
building.
Yeah,
and if you knew the size of the church, that's packed, mm-hmm. probably, I'm mm-hmm. sure. Okay, so you guys start looking that there's a need. So tell us a little bit, because we go from Church in the Wildwood to Joplin Full Gospel mm-hmm. on Michigan Street.
Right.
Okay, so... Michigan Street, and I wanted to ask you a few questions about that. So there's the decision that, first off, the decision to build. Were you always set on building, or were you like, we'll look for a church building, or we'll build one ourselves, or was it always we want to build one?
Not necessarily. We looked at some buildings at that time, and nothing just seemed to work for us and our congregation. One thing, whenever we built, we knew we were to stay in Joplin.
Okay.
I don't know how many times people would call us, I've got a church in Cartervale, or there's a place in Webb City or Orinoco, and there's a building over here. We knew our vision was for Joplin. That's where we were to stay. So then we started looking at buildings. We looked at land, and just happened one day that we were driving down 20th, and we seen that big sign there at 20th in Michigan with those 3 acres, well, almost 3 acres for sale, and that was nothing but woods at that time.
Okay.
And that's where we started inquiring about that. We had looked and looked and looked.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And did you guys do like a building fund and let the church know you're looking at properties?
Oh, the church knew. Yes, they knew. The board knew. The church knew. People were looking. I think it was just time for us to move out of that place.
And the people, for the most part, were pretty much on board with
pretty
that?
Pretty much on board.
Cool. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And so... You see this property, start inquiring about it on Michigan Street, that's a pretty good location as far as in the heart of Joplin. So tell us a little bit about that. Did everything kind of go smoothly with that, or did you guys have some battles there to get that property and to...
Well, we got the property okay. No problem in getting the property. I think the work done on the ground, of course, like I said, that was woods. So to do that, get that property ready to build on was probably took a long time doing that process because the land had to be cleared and we had to have city come out and check things out. And of course, you know, we had a railroad track going through there behind us.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of land work. A lot of gravel had to come in. A lot of stuff had to come in to get the ground ready. There was kind of a slope, and they had to get that all settled. So it took a while to even get that ground ready to go before we even. And we did hire that building. They built the shell, and then we contracted everything out from the inside, or mm-hmm. did it. with the church people helping us.
And I think I've asked you this, but what about the design of the church, the way the layout was? If anyone ever was able to go to the church on Michigan Street, you know, it's very similar to what ours is right now, the layout anyways. Lots of classrooms, big fellowship area, mm-hmm. big, pretty good sized sanctuary. Was that just you
kinda
and Grandpa thing, working on that? Or
kind of a couple things that we wanted to keep in mind. One was we never wanted a basement and we didn't want two stories.
Okay.
We wanted a church that was on one level that was accessible for all people to get in and out. Over in Church in the Wildwood, we didn't have room to, as we grew, to even have a church dinner or any kind of meetings there. I think one time we did have a Missouri State meeting there one time, but we didn't even have time to host anything for rallies or anything with refreshments because we had such a small fellowship hall. And so that was something that we wanted to have, was a fellowship hall that we could, you know. And also, we did not want a long sanctuary. We wanted a sanctuary that would pull the people up closer, and that's why we went not with like two aisles, but the three, so that we could span out and have people closer than having a long sanctuary where, you know, we felt like we were very much apart from our people. But, you know, I can't remember the plans on that so much as this, just some things everybody wrote that they wanted, and we had some people help us with those plans.
Was there things that you guys were like, this is a must?
Yes.
Okay.
Fellowship hall.
The big fellowship hall. The three.
But we did not have a kitchen again. We just
Very
used
true.
The back part of that fellowship hall.
Which I think came into play on this church, right?
This church got one.
I think, yeah, you were kind of adamant about
yeah.
that one, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So that begins to take fruition. Mm-hmm. You start building. How long was that process before you got from building to getting into the building?
Oh, wow. I can't remember how long it took us, because I just know that through this time, Brother John is still working a full-time job. And he would come home, and after he worked a full-time job, we would change clothes, run over there, and go work at the church and work inside, because we finished the inside out ourselves. We hired a few things out. But him, Brother Jack, Brother Thomas at that time helped work. We put down, you know, wood and stuff. And so it took us quite a while to get that church ready. I look back and say a while, but not compared to it. Looking back, it wasn't that long. So, and also we had to do a little bit of changing with the bank. We changed the name.
Mm-hmm.
So there was things that had to be changed on that also, paperwork.
Tell us a little bit about that, because I brought this up to Chance a while back, that the fact that you know, changed the name from, and it was Church in the Wildwood,
yes,
to Joplin Full Gospel. We were joking, but like churches split over name changes today. And so to us, like, that's a big deal that the name changes. So did you guys know, like, okay, we have to change the name when we go to this new church, and how did that all go?
Well, I think because a lot of calls that Brother John got was like, well, what kind of church are you?
Okay.
You know, and one thing was, so we thought we wanted to name something with Joplin, and we wanted something saying we are Full Gospel. And we are Full
Makes
Gospel.
Makes sense.
But, you know, everybody would call us and say, well, what kind of church are you? You know, are you Presbyterian? Are you community church? What are you? And it just kind of, and so we kind of wanted something Joplin in there, and we wanted, you know, something simple, Full Gospel at the time, that people would know what we are.
Gotcha.
You know.
Do you have any other names that you guys were kicking around? Do you know,
nope.
Remember? That was pretty much it, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty amazing that it went
no.
like that.
No, it wasn't.
The first service you were in there, you were Joplin Full Gospel from day one in that church on Michigan, right? Or
yes.
did that didn't come later?
No. I think we had already kind of got that. We'd kind of already decided that we were going to change the name there. In fact, long before we ever started building, I remember this because Brother Bernie Mitchell, that was a part of our church, you know, he was an artist and could write so good. But we had this big sign put there on the corner of 20th and Michigan, future home of Joplin Full Gospel. And we're like, oh, look at that. That's going to be ours one day, you know. But we were excited. We were excited, and it was a new beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of feeling like we're getting out of being stuck over there And we're out in a good location on 20th. Mm-hmm. I forget. I think Brother John did the research on how many cars pass by every day on 20th. And that at that time, if you remember, we had that big, huge sign that people put different things, saying different things on it. Because people read signs. I read signs from churches, you know. And he said, man, that sign itself can be a ministry, just people driving by.
Right.
So that was a good location.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll never forget the train tracks. That was
yes.
always right on the train tracks. You have the train coming through during service and stuff. So when you built the church, was there, you know, after you get in the church, was there stuff where you're like, we should have done this or were you pretty happy with everything that had happened in the church?
Well, at that time, because we wanted to keep, we've always been very frugal with money, as far as that goes. At that time, we did not want to get the people in a big debt. And I know every time we got ready to build or to add on, it took another commitment from Brother John's sister Joyce. Because it seemed like every time we get ready to do something, somebody would call us with a bigger and a better church, seemingly, you know. And when we got ready to build on to church in the Wildwood, somebody called us and offered this church that had a school and all of this stuff with it. And we thought, that's God. That's got to be God. You know, we're getting delivered. And we come home that night and we looked at each other and said, we can't leave like that. We start something, we're going to finish it. And so there again, we stayed with it and stayed with the people. And we were always very frugal. We didn't want something, a big debt hanging over our head or over the church. Mm-hmm. And so that was always, and we did pay off that church, but we did have to take out a loan for the church on Michigan. There again, we tried to go in. We did not buy new pews. We bought used pews. We used some of our old ones and bought used
pews.
They
were green, right?
They were green, and some of them were wood. We had a mixture.
Yes, yeah.
Some in the back were wood, and some in the front were green, a turquoise. And but we were always very frugal with the money. So, and bless Brother Jack's heart, he would find us a buy, or he found us cabinets for the church. He found us this, and everything just fell into place. People were finding us things, and we were just using it. And it saved us from going into a lot of debt.
That's pretty awesome. So I did want to ask, because this is the first time, you guys have did a lot of building projects. So what did you have to really reach out to people on help with that? Or was that something you guys had some experience in? Because I was thinking on taking on building a brand new church and the real estate stuff and even the bank stuff, the name changes, was that stuff that you guys are just kind of learning and calling out and reaching out to people and asking?
We learned. We learned as we did at Clayton because there again, we would. There was an older pastor. One of the pastors that Brother John used a lot was the pastor that pastored here at one time at where we're at now, Brother Griffin. But he would help. If he didn't know something, he would call somebody that would help him and give him some wisdom and something. And the bank, then we had a good secretary treasurer of Full Gospel Church International that helped us with the name change and the paperwork with that. Things that have to be changed, you know, you don't just go change a name without changing some things. Mm-hmm. And so we learned a lot as we went. And God just gave him wisdom. He just gave him wisdom. Mm-hmm. I look back and just think, I don't know how we did it. It was just the grace of God. God helping us.
And this was pretty amazing, but I believe you said when you guys made the transition from Wildwood to Joplin Full Gospel on Michigan Street that it was, you lost nobody, right?
Everybody moved over. Everybody pretty well come over.
That's like unheard of today.
Everybody come over with us. They were excited. I don't think we lost anybody because of the change of location. There again, we did not want to move out of Joplin. We wanted to stay in Joplin. And, you know, something that has always been and still is today in this church, people drive. Mm-hmm. We still to this day have people from Carthage, Galena. We were having people drive from Goodman, Anderson, different places. And still today, we have people drive because, if people find a good church, they'll drive to be there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty amazing because most time you go to build a new church, you're going to lose some members, but that's amazing. So do you remember the first service or the first times you guys got the whole service at the new church?
Yeah, I remembered. It was good. It was good. It's a lot better than the first service here.
Ooh, yeah.
Where we're here, but it was good. People were excited, and everybody was excited. You know, people would come over and clean and work at the church on Saturdays. And I remember, you know, Sister Latina there, they would come over and mow the yard and work on Saturday. Just different people helped us. It was just a good gathering of people helping.
When you think of, because, man, I even have some memories of the Michigan Church. So thinking of that church, and that was roughly 12-year?
We were probably there longer. We were there on Michigan longer.
Okay. Yeah. And so lots of memories and things, but mm-hmm. you got stuff that sticks out in your mind as far as some of your greatest memories of that church? Or it just, in my mind, I'm thinking of, I remember National Convention there
yes.
multiple times.
Yes.
I remember having brothers from Africa visit us.
Yes.
And some powerful services with them.
Yes.
I remember VBS.
Yes.
And the yes. different setups we used to have.
Remember the rocket ship we had?
Oh, yeah. We yes. had some awesome VBS
yes.
times.
Yes, we did.
I actually was in the youth group at that time, so I remember building a youth room,
yes.
which we'll probably need to get to as well.
Yes.
And so there was a lot of good memories. We had a baptismal there, so.
We added that.
Well, that was added on. Okay.
Well, it was one of our side rooms that we purchased a tank and put it in a side room. And probably, I've said that even building this church, of course, at the time we didn't know how our finances were going to be. That's one thing I would have probably added here. Mm-hmm. You know, as we look back, that's one thing I'd have liked to have would have been a baptismal here.
Yeah, but, that makes know. Sense that it was added on because I remember being baptized in the river.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure we were going to Michigan at that time. But so what, do you know when you put that in?
I don't know what year it was. I just know that... that I think somebody from Souls Harbor called us and had that and wanted to know if we'd be interested, and we said yes. And so we got it in that storeroom up there, which that room was a storeroom too of food. We always had a food pantry there too.
Mm-hmm.
And several people worked the storeroom there, and we put the baptismal in there, which made it nice because you could use that through the winter.
Yeah, that's really handy. Mm-hmm. So you got any memories or things that you think of and associate with that church as on the church on Michigan Street?
On Michigan. I just have good memories there.
Good memories there?
Good memories of
lots
the people.
Of stuff, yeah.
Good memories of the ministry that came there, revivals there. Like you said, we did have the train track. We did put up a fence, you know, to protect children from that. And we had a play area in the back that was fenced in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that train come through about 10 after 12, which was like, okay, church is over. And we're like, no, it's not.
A built-in timer
no,
there.
No, it's not. Even though everybody thought it was over, it wasn't over.
Oh,
and you know, it got to a place with us and our church people. That train didn't bother us.
Right.
We just got used to it. But... yeah, I have a lot of good memories there, and I know that we were there when John went full-time ministry, is when we were still there, when he, and that was right after 9-1-1, when he quit his job that very day and said he was going in, that he was laying his job down
really?
And going into full-time ministry.
I think, now that you say that, I remember, and I was young, but I remember having a special prayer service that night,
I believe. We did.
And I think I remember being there for that.
God had really dealt with him. He needed to lay down his secular job, that it was time to fully trust God and to give himself to the work of the ministry. And it was just pulling a lot on him. And he come home that day, and he said, I'm done with the job. And he said, sink or swim, we're going full time. And I said, we'll be okay.
Wow.
We'll be okay. And we were okay.
Wow.
We were okay.
And was the church continuing to grow after you moved to from... Wildwood to Michigan Street. Did you guys kind of steadily
We began
grow?
To pick up a few people in this area. Yes, some We had the apartment complex down at the end of 15th and Michigan. We had that's where we met the Carmonas mm-hmm. and their family, and Carrie's mom come up with the children, and we had some families come there. We had the apartments there by Dylan's, Carrie and David. They began to come over to our church, but that was more or less because of us making a connection with their parents. But they were all close around in that area, so we did pick up some families there too.
Wow! Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, that's pretty amazing.
And they were Joplin people.
Yes.
You know, in Joplin.
Yeah. Yeah, and for the most part, like, I don't know if they weren't church people either, right? They were...
Some were, some weren't,
uh-huh. yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, which is what you want.
Yeah. You don't want to just start taking it from everybody else's church.
No.
That's not good. And I was even thinking when you were talking about stuff in the church, I don't know how this got brought up the other day, but I was thinking of Joey Bartle coming in and doing his Paul skits.
Yes.
And using Grandpa and I think maybe David Winnegar or somebody.
Yes.
And acting out scenes from Paul's journey and writing letters in prison and stuff. So there's so many good memories.
That
and we would do skits there too.
Yes.
Carmen, you have to do Carmen
we
skits.
We did Carmen. And we did Easter. We did the cardboard testimony thing there too.
Yeah. And that
mother.
Was actually, we even did one right before the tornado.
Yes,
like
we
the,
did. Yes, we did.
Like there Sunday. Were, two
it's
weeks
just,
before.
We,
so.
Yes, there was a lot of good memories there
yeah.
of youth. And, and y'all as a youth group at that time, you know, we had a lot of musical talent there with youth. We, you know, had drummers and guitar players. Seemed like everybody in youth was playing something or active in church.
Yeah, or attempting to play something.
Or attempting to, yes, or wanting to.
Yeah.
Or but that's good. To, that's good. You had someone to train and someone to come up underneath you. And that's good.
Yeah, and so... talk a little bit about the need for, or I don't even know if it was a need or if you guys realized this is something you wanted to do, and maybe you can kind of speak into this, but because, I can't remember roughly a year, but it had been there for a little bit, the youth room, mm-hmm. which was not attached, but a large room mm-hmm. built later on, And what was kind of the decision with that? And was that something you guys were feeling like was a need? I know for a while, you know, with at least in my, I know I was a youth during that time of that being built, and we had a pretty strong mm-hmm. number of youth at that time. So
well, when we were on Michigan on one Wednesday night, I looked around and I seen all these little kids in church, and all of a sudden. I told John, I said, I'm going to start doing a class on Wednesday night for kids. And so I took him over to my Sunday school room at that time, which is over where our nursery is mm-hmm. here. And I think I had 10 or 12 kids that first night. And then that room.
Are these little kids? Or
these are kids from 6 to probably 12 to 14.
Oh, wow.
Right in through there.
That was the first time you guys did Wednesday night classes.
That started Wednesday night class. Okay,
wow.
That
That's
room.
That's pretty wild.
And I taught them by myself. And that little room held sometimes up to 25 and 30 kids on Wednesday night. I mean, I was so blessed. And I remember one parent coming up to me.
I don't know how you did that. 6 to 12-year-olds, 25 to 30 of them.
It was a different day. Kids were different. But
jeez.
It was such a blessing because the kids were looking forward to coming to church on Wednesday night. And not only did I teach them, but we acted out little parts. It just made church come alive to them. And it got so big, I couldn't contain them in there. So I needed to break up into some classes on mm-hmm. Wednesday night. And the youth was growing, so these kids were getting to be teenagers. I couldn't keep them in here with these little ones. So then we got the vision for the youth room and to do a junior church out there. Because junior church was also
right,
in that little room.
Yep.
And they were growing. Because if I'm having these little kids on Wednesday night, look how many they're doing on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. So we got the vision for that. And then but on that one, we started a little bit different. We decided we were going to raise the money for that.
Right.
And so we started putting a fund up. And, you know, I think we got, about a fourth or halfway through it. And then somebody made a large donation in our church after about 6 months or a year, and we had the money, and we built it. And
wow. And it was just a large room.
It was just a large open room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the decision to have it not attached to the church? Was that something you guys talked about, or was that always kind of the plan?
No, really.
Because when we built this one, we were adamant about wanting it together.
Yeah, we wanted it together. No, it was just because the way the other church was set and the heat and air and everything would had to been moved and different things like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. And I know I feel like I'm jumping around a little bit, but even at Wildwood, mm-hmm. you guys were having junior church mm-hmm. on Sunday mornings mm-hmm. and during Sunday school time or during worship time. Mm-hmm. And so
in the basement.
That was downstairs, and mm-hmm. then you were still having it, but you decided it was getting big enough. We needed more space for the kids.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay,
that's where the junior church first started, is after we built the new sanctuary at Church in the Wildwood.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. And so tell me a little bit about the things going on at Michigan Street. Are you, brother Packwood, you mentioned him earlier. Mm-hmm. You guys are supporting his ministry now.
Yes.
That happens at Michigan. Mm-hmm. And then were we doing work with Souls Harbor at that time?
Yes.
The homeless shelter. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. Obviously, you said we had the food bank going.
We had a food bank in that church, and we had different ladies that took care of that. And we gave gas vouchers out at that time. There was a station down on 15th that gave out gas vouchers, and boy, it seemed like we were helping people right and left because Grandpa being there at church, every day, there was somebody coming in needing something. Mm-hmm. And we were just, of course, people were different, but we were helping a lot of people in that location.
Yes. Okay, so.
And he also was beginning to take some mission trips.
Yeah, so that started then as well.
Yes, we started.
You both?
We started both going at that time to Mexico, Honduras, and doing some mission trips, and later on to Africa. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember some of that. Yeah, so that all happened at Michigan Street. Mm-hmm. Okay, and still serving in the fellowship at this time as well.
It was, and Brother John there. While we were at Michigan, Brother John started doing national offices, too, and especially after he went full-time. It just seemed things exploded then. He was more available to help the people and to do and get involved in other things. Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be, we don't have to go into deep, but it is, we were out there just a while back. So the church camp is right around this time where we move from Wyandotte into the new church camp grounds, which I haven't got any questions on that. But I was thinking that we always kind of, I think, associate that with my age, I think, is what you guys, either a year before or a year after I was born that you guys acquired that. So
you were born.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you guys have the church camp going as well, and mm-hmm. you guys were actively involved with that for a long time, right? And
there were six churches that went together and bought the camp.
Okay.
And that's how who started it.
Okay, so I don't know who's the churches.
Well, they right now there's only two or three, but we had six different churches at that time. We had Brother and Sister Myers, we had us, Gospel Lighthouse, Brother Johnson in Oklahoma. Let's see, one, two, is that four? There was six of us. We had Westside Full Gospel in Webb City, and then Carterville.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So there were six of us went together and bought that and formed a corporation to do that.
Wow. Yeah, I totally forgot that. But so, and you guys had quite a bit of youth, and so camp was always kind of a big deal, right? And
amen.
You guys supported the camp. And
we did camp.
Still to this day, doing a lot with the camp.
still in camp.
That's
still
20,
in camp.
28 years of that church ground.
Well, yes.
Church
camp ground. At that one, yes.
And you guys had even been going to Wyandotte before that,
right.
Sending kids there.
Right.
And so when you went to, I know I'm backtracking, but when you went to church in the Wildwood, was that already something happening, or did you find that and send kids there from the beginning or later on?
No, we did not. We didn't start going. We started going to camp when we were at Brother Shaw's church. Okay. Brother John was national youth leader. And that's the days you got elected, whether you was there or not. And he got elected to national youth leader.
That still happens. And, I'm serving in office now. I wasn't that when I got elected for it.
We went to a national camp, and And we started taking our kids to national camp. I think your mom was 3 years old when I took her to camp the first time. And it just seemed like at that time he worked a job and only got 1 week vacation, and that went to camp every year. We went to camp every year.
Yeah, I think we need to, we've talked about this, we need to find a way to get out to the Wyandotte campground, because all my life I've heard stories about this Wyandotte campground, and we definitely need to go out there sometime. And
it's the people that went there that make the story.
Oh yeah, it's definitely nostalgia and stuff.
Yes,
but
yes,
but
yes.
It's still interesting to have everyone talk about that. So the church is kind of growing. We have all this stuff taken off. Build a youth room. You have those things going on. Any stuff in the church? I know we talked about this a little bit with Wildwood, you don't have to get to. Everyone's thinking the Joplin tornado. We'll get there eventually, because that did take place at that church. But what, maybe either good memories or hardships during that church time that you can remember. Times where you're like, man, this has been a real struggle, or just maybe you guys went through something or anything at that church that was tough?
I can't really anything stand out that was hard. I mean, I'm sure there was hard times. There isn't, you know, every other week or every Sunday, every pastor, you know, thinks, okay, this day, you know. I think of a lot of good memories there. I can't really think of anything bad as a pastor that... you know, that really stood out. I can't think of anything that took the place of what we went through with the tornado, okay, to be honest, as a pastor.
That kind of overshadows a lot.
Never going through anything in our life like it. Dealing with your own personal grief, then dealing with the grief with your people, mm-hmm, and walking through such a time, never in my life. And then, you know, then Grandpa got some health problems through that we never did share. And walking through that with him, too, you know, and that was just a very, very hard time for Joplin, period.
Right, right.
But I would say a lot of good memories, because there was vision. There was people wanted to do things. There was good services. We were able to host things because we had a building that we could host things, you know. And like we had, like you said, the general convention, and you kids used to go climb on top of the storeroom out back while we did that. I mean, we just had a lot of good time. And we had a parking lot.
Yes, good-sized parking lot.
We had a good-sized parking lot, so we felt like, hey, this is uptown here. This is good.
Basketball goal at the very back of the
basketball
parking lot.
Basketball goal for the youth. We took the youth out on Wednesday night. Yeah. They could play basketball. If they didn't learn their Bible verses, they went outside and did them. That's what my class did anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there people that sticks out in your mind at that church? Maybe some have passed on, or people that have came and gone that were really instrumental in that church that was really... came alongside you guys during that time. You had several come over from Wildwood, I know.
Mm-hmm.
You lost brother Jack at that church, who you mentioned earlier as very being mm-hmm. very helpful and instrumental.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of funerals and mm-hmm. loss there.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other people that you can?
Brother Gary Henson was a very good help to Brother John in a lot of areas. Brother Gary was always someone that wanted to always defend Brother John. He was just a defender. You know, it's kind of good, like
armor bearer.
Well, yeah. He was. Yeah. He was always, he knew his heart sometimes. And so sometimes he was always there as an encourager, too. It's very good when you have people in your church to encourage you as a pastor. And Brother Gary Henson was a good one to be faithful through those years and help. And, of course, we had Brother Thomas that was there. He was very good as an elder in the church, and also served later on our board there at Joplin Full Gospel.
So I had a question that came to my mind. When did, because one thing I always remember, Chance is behind the camera, but he may remember this too, and I remember my mom being involved. But we used to have to come up before Sunday school started we'd line up the kids
and sing,
and we would sing
yes.
these little kid songs.
Yes,
and sometimes we would get a prize.
Yes,
and then we would have we went for a period. We had puppets.
Yes,
before Sunday school started. How did all this come to be? Was this
a lot of that came from vision from the people. I think
Sister Wealtha involved in some of that, I believe.
Yes, she helped a little bit. And then Cindy worked with puppets. Paul and Ursula worked with puppets. People had a vision to do the puppets. And if you will remember, sometimes some of their lessons were so good that they were, I mean, we had older people sitting there learning like, oh, I missed the puppets. I'm learning from
bring
the puppets.
Bring puppets back. Yes. No, I'm just kidding.
And I think about the little kids singing that songs. That was special. I don't know how you little kids thought about it.
I'll never forget. And there's a whole bank of songs in my mind that just I'll never forget.
You'll
and,
never forget
and
them.
It's, yeah, it's
they're part
it's
of your life,
else.
Aren't they? And you sing them at camp every year.
Yeah, some of them. Some
it didn't
of
hurt
them.
You. It didn't hurt you. It was good. It was good.
Chance to say make puppets great again, but I don't know about that. If they were ever
well,
great.
If someone
no.
gets the vision, that would be a good puppet ministry. Is a good ministry.
Yeah.
You know, is a good ministry.
Never forget that for sure. Okay, so you had many of those things going on. You're
we had also some. I know we had some musical groups that come every year and come to church, Michigan too, and sing for us.
Yeah, some. Now there was a time we had a group that had they did the black light with the gloves.
Yes. Yes.
I remember this,
yes.
And they would do songs and
drama.
A ministry there with the drama, and then. Yeah. I think I do remember some different singing groups there as well.
The Warrens.
And I remember Grandpa at the time, they sang, mm-hmm. and that might have been, but I remember him singing with Bernie and Tim Wilson and,
yes.
and them
yes.
singing at times.
In fact, they begin to sing at different events later, him and Tim did.
And the Thomas family
yes.
would sing
would
specials.
Sing. Uh-huh.
Yeah, we had a lot. What do you think? Because this is just something that doesn't exist anymore. I know we do from time to time, but people don't do specials anymore. But I remember that being that was a big deal at our church. And we would always have people engaged in that way.
Amen.
I remember there being, you know, it being
sometimes
rare
on
that
Sunday night you would have
yeah,
two
you
or
would
three.
Have a lot of specials.
Yeah, you'd have two or three people want to sing and do a special. You
that
know?
Just doesn't happen anymore. But I was thinking of that. There, yes. We would have specials all the time, and people yeah. sing and play and
yes.
and do different things, and
yes,
and that's just not something that really takes place anymore.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know
I
why.
I don't know either. But
maybe it's a time issue and. Or a talent issue, or a little bit of both. I don't know. But
intimidated, maybe. I don't know. fear, maybe. But, but you know, there is such a variety of good gospel music out there mm-hmm. that it is good to let other people.
I remember. I mean, there was videos of Singspirations, and you would
we
have
had
people
Singspiration night
sing. And
yes, we did
a. I can't believe I'm remembering this, but like a all night. Good New Year's, right? Where
we did a New Year's Eve service.
New Year's uh-huh. Eve.
Yes, we would stay to midnight.
Multiple speakers
yes,
and refreshments. And
we'd stop at 10 and have refreshments, and then come back and have service till the new year come in.
Did we only do that once, or was that a multiple?
We did that a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some unique stuff going on there that doesn't really happen much today.
It does not. It does not. People do not take the time today to stay with something, do they?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we did do that. A lot of New Year's Eve. In fact, everybody had a New Year's Eve service in those days.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So I think I've hit a lot of stuff about the church in Michigan. You got anything else to add on that church? We just summed up like several years of history in no time, and so I'm sure we're missing a lot. But
well, there was just a lot of good times there, a lot of good revivals I'm thinking of, and a lot of people from the association that came. And like I said, that was a good time of our Joplin district was a big, strong district at that time. And, you know, once a month we had those meetings, and we just had something going every week, seemed like, you know. And
yeah.
I think it was a good time in ministry, too, because you had a close fellowship with your fellow ministers.
Mm-hmm.
And that was good. And also when we was at Michigan, Pastor and I did a radio broadcast, Reflections from God's Word on KNEO.
Oh, okay.
And we did a five-minute spot every morning, Monday through Friday. We did that in Michigan. Mm-hmm. And to this day, every now and then, I will get a letter of a syndicate radio station wanting to know about reflections from God's Word. And it was just a five-minute spot. That you, one scripture, you gave them a thought and just hit them like in the car on the way to work. Mm-hmm. And that was a very good ministry, too,
wow,
that we did.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really cool. I have all these things going on. I'm even trying to think of some stuff in my mind. I can remember there being probably my first exposure to spiritual warfare at that church. Mm-hmm. I remember that at mm-hmm. times being.
We had some deliverances there.
Some deliverances.
Yes. Yes.
I remember really seeing the power of God there.
Yes.
I always associate it with there and with church camp in my life is the first places I've seen it. I remember when the brothers from Africa, Jonah, and Brother John came and, mm-hmm. and just,
yes.
you know, seeing the people and the move of God there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. I can, you know, remember Brother Gale coming a lot and preaching at that mm-hmm. time, and he would mm-hmm. come and minister. The guy that played the guitar, not Brother Gale, Jose Matos.
Yes.
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 I'm telling you, I always loved when Jose Matos
yes,
came.
Yes, he came once a year, too. Yes, he did.
He had an amazing testimony.
Yes,
had a lady come and give her testimony one time, too, that...
From Aurora, up there, yes, that
God
healed her
healed
from
her.
MS. Yes.
Yes, yes.
I had her 1 year at Ladies Retreat, too. Yes.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. so I can remember some of those things going yes. on, lots of stuff going on in the church.
And she was full of the power of God. God healed her just of being God.
That's pretty
just
amazing.
Just God being God. That's yeah. just her testimony.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What stuff, so... You guys had a Bible study going on for a little bit. Was it like a ladies' Bible study?
I started ladies' Bible study at Church in the Wildwood, and I worked a full-time job through the school. And then on the summer, I did a ladies' Bible study every Tuesday morning. We'd go from house to house with the women, and then we had lunch. That thing took off.
Really?
It took off. We went from house to house having... we would have Bible study, then we'd have fellowship, and someone would fix a lunch. And so that got to the place I could not go back to work. It grew, and God dealt with me to lay my job down. So I quit. And so we just kept on doing ladies' Bible study. And then when we moved over to Michigan, it also we had ladies' Bible study and started
wow.
having Bible study.
Yep, I thought I remembered that. Did you guys do prayer services?
We started prayer service.
It wasn't like a regular thing.
We didn't do a regular prayer night till we got here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you were still doing Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday
mm-hmm.
night.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any other things going on at that church or things you started there?
Wow, I'm trying to think.
Yeah, there was a lot. There was a lot.
Yeah, there's been a lot going on. Yes. There was a lot going on. Yes. I'm trying to think. We did the missions. And we started getting very involved in missions. I know when we were at Church in the Wildwood, we weren't there very long till John and I looked at ourselves one day and we said, hey, look at all the money the church is having. We need to invest some of this in the gospel. And so we knew one missionary here in town, and we contacted his daughter, and we started giving to him. And then we met Roger Tomlinson somehow through somebody, and got to know him personally, and then could go to his work. So we kind of made a move from him over to Mexico there in Day Spring Outreach. And then Roger would come probably once a year and speak at our church over in Church in the Wildwood.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he's how you got connected with the Packwood family and their work.
Yes,
and
yeah, we met them in Mexico.
And then what about the Thailand, Stephen Andrea?
Yeah, we just added them on later.
And okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool, and that's pretty amazing. Some of those works still going
today.
Still going on.
Yeah,
some
on.
Of that stuff. And,
still going.
You know, and even the local stuff, Souls Harbor and other homeless shelters and stuff.
Yes.
And so really cool. Okay, so I think that, I mean, we've been going for over an hour now.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. And and so I know that we want to discuss the tornado, and I want to... I don't want to do that now. I want to be able to kind of just devote a whole kind of episode to that. And I know that'll be kind of heavy. And so, maybe have some other people involved or at least get some other people's stories about that. if you could, if looking back though on that time, is there just, I mean, I can even myself being, I think I was a junior in high school. There were just so many different things that happened.
Overwhelming.
And so, I think I had written this question down, but is that probably to you the hardest thing you've ever went through as a pastor, maybe even as a person? I don't know, but that's got to be up there, right?
It's
right.
Something.
We lost 5 members in that church. 4 were in the building, mm-hmm. and very, very difficult time. And
then we had several that were in hospitals.
Yes.
That were injured in the building or mm-hmm. injured in their home. And then we had people lost homes.
Right.
So you can imagine the grief of everything that was hitting Joplin, plus hitting the church. And it was a very, very hard time it was a very hard time. It drew us closer together, but it was a very hard time walking through that, walking through it as a city, as a church family. And very hard time to preach because you knew the gospel needed to get out, but you knew you had wounded hearts there that needed healed. And, you know, grief is something that you don't just get over in a day or two or a week or two, or sometimes you don't get over the whole facet of it. And, yes, that's probably, as a pastor and as ministry, that would probably been the toughest thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the rebuilding of the church, dealing with that, plus all of the Joplin, all of the families.
Yeah, and so we'll probably go ahead and probably wrap up this part here with covering Church in the Wildwood and Joplin Full Gospel at Michigan Street. And I'm guessing when this goes out, people are going to be like, why didn't you talk about this or that? And because I forgot, sorry. No,
me too, sorry.
that was a lot to cover. And then we'll definitely want to talk about the Joplin tornado. And there's a lot there. And then we also, I mean, we spent almost a year in a whole different building. And so 11 months in another building, which being a church that is already operational and trying to meet and everything. And so there was a lot in the tornado, which you can almost summarize.
Sister Jones, it was her sister's church.
Right.
And they just happened to talk to them and found that we needed a church.
The
connections. And they were Seventh Day, so they weren't using it on Sunday.
I remember the week after the tornado, which we'll cover, but even meeting briefly at a church of God. Is it 15th?
Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Right down the road from where the church was.
Mm-hmm.
Did we meet like in the afternoon or something?
We met after their service, I think 1:30 or 2, and that was a powerful service.
Yeah, I remember
that. Was a powerful service. I don't know if you were there playing in at that and helping in the worship. Because
that was the first time I ever did that, actually.
You played,
my mom wasn't with
and
us,
Daniel
yeah.
played, and your mom was gone in the hospital with some up there with Hannah. And your dad was there with you boys, and it was a powerful service.
Yeah.
I mean, the Spirit of God moved. The Spirit of God dealt with your father that day, and people were up getting prayed for. It was just a powerful service.
Lots of tears and emotions.
A lot of emotion going on, but God met us right there, and the Holy Ghost was right there with us.
Yeah. So I want to end right here, and then and we'll pick up that. Like I said, it's almost like you can say, you know, the Joplin tornado, but then there's so much that goes into that with the rebuilding, and then the, you know, the time spent in the other church, and just. You know, the transitions.
Staying in Joplin.
And the looking for property or purchasing a building. I know that was a different decision there that you guys had talked about. And so
a decision with this church, too, is property.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And so, we were planning for a Amen. Long time to just rebuild right where we were at.
Thank God we did not, though.
Yeah.
Looking hindsight back, I think it was a blessing that we got to move.
In the moment, we weren't so happy about it, though.
Yes, it was hard, but we thank God.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so we'll cover that next time, but thank you so much. And hope if you guys have stayed with us this long, thank you.
Yes, amen.
To our loyal patrons. No, I'm just kidding.
This wasn't 15 minutes.
Yeah, this was a little longer, 15 minutes, but very interesting stuff I didn't know. And Feel free if you want to message me questions or something, and we'll try to do a little Q&A some point. Thank you, and we will look forward to coming back with episode 3, and we'll probably cover the Joplin tornado and have some more voices speaking into that. So get the tissue box ready, and I'm sure that'll be a little more heavier time and topic, but we'll try to do that next time. But thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next.